Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
When Michelle Obama rolled up her sleeves and started digging a garden on the White House lawn, advocates for healthy local food cheered. The First Lady set a powerful example by inviting Washington, D.C. schoolchildren to garden along with her. The message? The inner city, too, can have access to fresh, organic food. And in these tough times, this is especially important. Government figures show that some 36 million people live in households that have trouble just putting food on the table. Jessica Elise Smith tells us about efforts in New York City to bring high-quality foods to struggling neighborhoods.
It's Saturday morning at the Semolina Grocery in Brooklyn. Cesar Rodriguez tends to his customers. Soda, cookies, chips, and canned foods line the walls of Rodriguez's bodega. But among the sea of processed foods and packaged goods stands a small outpost of fresh fruits and green leafy vegetables.
Piña, mango, manzana.
Rodriguez recently added these fresh foods to his store. He's one of almost 1,000 bodega owners taking part in New York City's Healthy Bodegas initiative.
Through the program, we're trying to improve people's health and the health of the neighborhood, have people eat healthier products and lose weight, because obesity is a sickness here in our community.
Low-income neighborhoods like Rodriguez's have few supermarkets or other options for fresh fruits and vegetables. Yet there are many places to buy fast food, candy, and alcohol. Sabrina Barenberg of the city's Department of Health and Mental Hygiene wanted to find ways to address the many health problems like obesity, diabetes, and heart disease found in poorer areas. She found that 80% of the food markets in these neighborhoods were small corner stores.
These areas have many more bodegas than supermarkets, and very few supermarkets, in fact. That really inspired me to work to make these large environmental changes to make it easier for people to eat healthier.
So in 2006, Barenberg began to work with bodega owners and kicked off the Healthy Bodegas Initiative. She saw that residents wanted to change what they ate, but needed help.
Nobody wants to live a life of chronic disease, but people would say to me, I really want to make these changes. I want to switch to 1% milk. I want to eat more fruits and vegetables. I want to be healthier, but I can't. My bodega only sells junk food, and there aren't any supermarkets, so what am I supposed to do? And, you know, there's nothing more frustrating than that.
New York City's neighborhoods are not the only areas with limited access to healthy food. These so-called food deserts are found across the country in rural and urban locations. Mark Winnie has looked at food deserts for years.
It's relative based on how far somebody has to go in order to get to any kind of decent, affordable food store and the means they have to use to get there. And do they, in fact, have the means?
Winnie is the author of Closing the Food Gap, Resetting the Table in the Land of Plenty. In the book, he chronicles the rise of food deserts in the 1960s alongside the growth of the American suburb. With scores of people leaving downtown areas, inner cities were drained of wealth. Supermarket chains followed the wealthier client base and moved to the suburbs.
They simply began to walk away from urban America, and these were communities that needed those stores more than others. They were communities that were being challenged by poverty, being challenged by some of the worst socioeconomic conditions that we've had in the 20th century.
It wasn't just the lack of supermarkets that led to the growth of food deserts, but also the lack of public transportation to bring urban residents to suburban grocery stores. Winnie says nearly 70% of households in low-income neighborhoods do not own a car. As an example, he highlights the 8th Ward of Washington, D.C., which is close to the U.S. Capitol building. In this area, nearly 70,000 residents live with slim access to grocery stores.
About 38% of those people are considered poor using U.S. poverty standards. If you look at the landscape, we see almost no supermarkets. And we also see another characteristic of a food desert, which is a tremendous number of fast food joints. And that's what people have to choose from for food. And as a result, we see very high levels of obesity.
Costs from obesity and related chronic diseases are increasing. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the U.S. spends over $117 billion a year on healthcare related to obesity. And in low-income neighborhoods with lots of fast food and few healthy options, the obesity rate is rising. Over in the Red Hook neighborhood of Brooklyn, Eugene rakes leaves that he'll add to one of the compost piles lining the side of an urban farm.
Then we have our compost beds over here that we've been processing for a long time. We have one that was built 2 months ago, and it's almost done, but it's not all the way done. It's almost broken itself down. All the nutrients and stuff like that is almost broken down and created our soil that we use.
Eugene is one of about 10 neighborhood teens who work at the Red Hook Community Farm. The farm, run by the nonprofit group Added Value, was literally built from the ground up. Soil was brought in to cover an old abandoned ball field. If you look closely on the outskirts of the rows of onions, lettuce, and beets, you can still see home plate and the faint white lines that mark the field's boundaries. This farm has not only increased the community's access to fresh and affordable fruits and vegetables, but also has helped change the neighborhood.
For the farm, I'd say it was like pretty much a little better because there was still a lot of gang violence and stuff like that going around here. I'm just basically proud of being here and helping out and then being able to bring healthy food to my neighborhood that I live in.
Eugene and other teens plant seeds, harvest crops, and sell their bounty at a farmer's market in the neighborhood. Before the farm started, residents went through a lot to get fresh food.
I took two buses or a car service to get food back to Red Hook. Like, you couldn't even get a quart of milk or vegetables.
Kate and many other Red Hook residents who buy their produce from the farm understand that fresh fruit and vegetables are important for their health. William Lewis is a longtime resident who didn't like what he found in the neighborhood before the farm.
Well, it was dull. With nothing to buy, not fresh anyway, you know, just regular stores, you know. When the farm came, I just stopped coming here because I know it's fresh food, and I like fresh. It's better for me, better for anybody, matter of fact, you know.
The farmer's market has become a neighborhood gathering place, and teens at the farm not only earn money and learn how to grow food, they also learn how to be stewards of their community, a community that is focusing on changing the circumstances of its health. Efforts like this inspire author Mark Winnie.
So it's the human innovation, creativity, a willingness as a community in some sort of organized social way and political way of trying to change the circumstances that they live in. And that really inspires me.
Programs like the Added Value Farm and the Healthy Bodegas Initiative operate from the ground up to improve the health of people living in food deserts. They also help to close what Winnie calls the food gap that severely divides Americans. For Living on Earth, I'm Jessica Elise Smith in New York City.
We got string beans, snap beans, lima beans. We got the very kind of beans that I would like to put right in your fresh burger. Pretty baby, don't you see what I mean? They're the finest beans, coolest of beans. They're the best beans that you could find in this or any other marketplace. What are you trying to prove with all your talk of beans? Yes, I know.